Blog Talk Radio.
I said, friend, let me get that for you, as he rolled his wheelchair toward the door of the restaurant I was going in. I helped the old fella through the door. I could see that his hat said he served in World War II. I shook his hand and said, friend, let me buy dinner for you. He said, son, I wish everyone felt like you do. I watched a tear roll from his eyes. He said, grace. And as he sat there and he talked to God, my heart was in my throat. As I heard him ask, we'd all find a better way. And he said, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They've taken the U right out of the USA and broke the right arm off of the Statue of Liberty. Put out the torch that lights our way. Then they say that it's all politically correct. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. Said, son, for God and country, I lost my legs on Omaha Beach. But that's nothing compared to what thousands lost if we continue being free. Once again he said, well, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They're stomping and burning our stars and stripes, not giving a damn for the sacrifice of life that protects that very right. Yet they say it's just the way that they protest. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. America lives. America.
Welcome to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We are live. We are uncensored. We are hyped up. We are ready to get crazy. We are... Shit. Joe Biden called us domestic terrorists, and we're a threat to democracy. That's what we are, the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. Hey, tonight joining me, we have my co-host, Chris Bikerson, on, and we also have our producer, Kim, from Canada. Chris, how the hell are you doing tonight, brother?
I'm good. You know what? I forgot to tell you that I fired our listening room audience. I was in the mood. You know, I listened to Donald Trump, and I just said, that's it. I walked in. I said, you're fired. All of you, get out. And, yeah.
Well, yeah. I was wondering what the hell was going on there. I was waiting for all the people in my sleeper that we always seem to conjure up, and you know, the hundreds and thousands of them that are stacked in the back there screaming and cheering when we do our introductions, and nothing. And I'm like, oh shit, I better go with this. That's all right, man. You know, that we're missing Daryl tonight. Daryl, before we get to Kim here, Daryl, he's had a rough couple days there, so I he texted us and said he just couldn't join us tonight. And I said, dude, don't worry about it. It's not like we're getting paid to do this. You know, we just do this to spread the truth as much as we can and talk about current events and, you know, just get on here and shoot shit. But without further ado, let me introduce Kim, coming back from her long absence. She was sick herself. It's welcome yep. back, Kim. It's good to have you back.
Yes, thank you so much, guys. Yeah, I've been gone for a while. Not that I wasn't listening or monitoring, but as you know, I didn't have a voice for quite a few weeks and a huge cough that took forever to get rid of. But I'm back. I'm back and feisty as ever.
She's spicy as ever, and she's been, not that she hasn't been. That's discrimination. Where's Joe Biden when you need him?
I was just going to say, that's so discriminatory. Poor Jeremy doesn't get it, but I do.
I never get anything, really. I get criticism. I get a lot of that. Not that Kim has been, like, out and not doing anything. Because I forgot to mention it last week, it was an exciting news, and I forgot all about it. And it truly is exciting, but I want Kim to announce it because she's the one that put all 53 of our episodes thus far up, and I want her to explain what she did when she was out being sick, and it's really great news, and it's going to benefit us in the long run. So Kim, go ahead and explain to people what you were doing when you were out sick.
Well, I was doing lots of things, Jeremy, but and I know we're uncensored, but I'm not going to go there. But I did manage to get us up on Spotify. All 53 episodes are up. Every time we have a show, the very next day, the latest show will be up. So the new shows will be up every Friday. So you can go to Spotify, look up the Disrespected Trucker Show, add it to your favorites, and listen to us every week.
Now, that's spectacular. Thank you so much for doing that, too, Kim. By the way, everybody, just so you're listening, or those of you that are listening, I'm sorry. Chris doesn't get paid for this. I don't get paid for this. Kim doesn't get paid for this. We were generously offered this platform by Unplugged 7 Radio Network. And my friend that owns that put me in charge of the network and said, go with it. Let's see what you can bring to the table. So we're going to be adding a lot more shows onto this network, Unplug 7. So if you go to blogtalkradio.com, you just type in Unplug 7 in the search bar, and that'll bring up Unplug 7's Blog Talk Radio platform. You click on that, that'll give you all the shows that we're going to have up. And trust me, I'm working very diligently on getting more people on here and different points of view. Right now, I'm actually working with Conservative Ant. Those of you that don't know who he is, he's one of the top 25 gay influencers in the United States. He's a gay conservative, and he's also a board member on Gays Against Groomers. So he fights against this transgender the pushing of the transgender narrative or agenda in our schools against our children. So I think he's got a great following and a great voice. I've also talked to Jacinda Lady Trucker. We're working to get her on Wednesday nights again. She said maybe for an hour. I got to talk to her again and get her set up. We want to bring you different points of view, different personalities, because not everybody likes me. Not everybody likes Chris. Not everybody likes Kim. We just have to have diversity because that's the only way we're going to get the truth out there. When somebody turns on to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show and they say, you know, I think that guy's an asshole. You know, I don't want you to go away and just never listen to the network again. Find somebody on the network that you really like and tune into them so you can get the truth from them. We're going to have different, you know, points of view. There's going to be just strictly trucking shows. There's going to be goof-off shows. There's going to be everything that you want wrapped up in 1 week on different nights. So I just wanted to explain that to you. And again, Kim, thank you so much for getting us up on Spotify. That was a huge undertaking, and that will undoubtedly get us some more listeners, and hopefully we can get the truth spread out there a little bit more. And for you listeners, if you would, when you see a link on Twitter or you see a link on Facebook, I'm not on Facebook, but you know, you'll see our links spread around, please share them out. That's the only way we can get more listeners and get the truth out there in a bigger manner. Anyway, a larger manner, a larger platform, whatever. Go ahead.
Can I just interject one thing? And plus two, for our listeners, if they keep sharing us and the more we grow, the more other platforms that can throw us out on, because you have to have so much of a fan base before we can go into the other platforms. So it would help us. And again, we're not doing it for the money. We don't care. We're here to spread the truth.
Mm-hmm. That is 100% right there.
It's probably the shittiest paying job I've ever had.
Yeah, you don't get paid nothing, and you work your ass off. and Chris, too, you know, we all do this every Thursday night. And then when we're not doing this Thursday night, we do behind-the-scenes stuff during the week to prepare for the show.
Yep.
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and tell you that we're putting in 40 hours to prepare for the show, because obviously we're not. Just listen to the show. But we do talk. We do share news stories. We're up to date on what's happening. Chris sends stuff through our text chat. Daryl sends stuff. I send stuff. Kim sends stuff. So with Kim being in Canada, we stay up to date of what's happening up in Canada with the tyrant Trudeau. And Chris listens to different things than I do, so he sends stuff over. And I listen to, you know, follow different things than everybody else. It's a really good mix of people that we have involved right now, and I'm very excited the direction we're going. But I want to get to the point, guys. Is tonight we're going to talk about a few different things. Let's get right to it. First of all, we will talk about the Paul Pelosi incident, because that it couldn't have happened at a more ironic time, like Halloween. But we'll get to that. Holy shit, has that thing gotten crazy. But the first thing I wanted to talk about is a guy that I stood with down in on Constitution Avenue in 2020 when Trump was president. There was over 200 of us at any given time for three straight weeks that sat and staged on Constitution Avenue in the south lawn of the White House for three straight weeks. One of these guys that was down there with me, the beast from the Northeast is what they call him. He contacted me, and he wanted my advice about testing and such. And he asked me, he said, Jeremy, would you, we're thinking about shutting down George Washington, the Tappan Zee, you know, all the bridges going in and out of New York City. And my advice to him was, you're going to get in a shitload of trouble if you do that. They're going to throw the book at you. And he's like, well, what about BLM? They were allowed to do that stuff. Well, we live in a different society today. There's double standards. It's very obvious. It's not very obvious to the left, because they look at us as the enemy and as a threat to, quote unquote, our democracy. But the fact of the matter is there are double standards. And, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, in my opinion. But it don't work that way, and I don't want to see anybody get in trouble. And I advised him not to do that. And I'm not going to tell you what my thoughts were and what I said I think he would have the best results with. I'm not going to say that, because every time we've given out what our plan is, it's not good. It's not good for anybody. And it's not my plan. It's not our plan. It's what his plan is and what I suggested that they do instead of shutting down bridges. And I think it's a better idea, and he agreed with me. But that's in New York City, folks, and that's going to be coming within the next 2 weeks. You're going to see a couple hundred trucks roll into New York City at least. I did give him some phone numbers to other people that he could call, and he can coincide and, or, you know, collaborate with them. He asked if I wanted to be involved, and I humbly refused and politely refused and said, I'm sorry. I just, after what I've seen happen with the People's Convoy and the state of the political climate in this country, I'm not interested at this point in putting myself into that position again, because I took a lot of heat for that. It's finally starting to die down now a little bit, but I took a lot of heat for that for months and months and months and months and months, and it wears a guy out, and I'm wore out. So, but not saying that I won't be here to support anybody or cheer them on. That's the way it is. Chris, what, you know, based off that, you know, that just that little phone call, what do you think, you know, that the implications are of them rolling into New York City? What do you think they could get accomplished or get done?
Well, my first question is, what is it they're protesting? What are they trying to draw attention to?
Well, according to him, and I have to talk to him again, because I have to remind him that we have a lot of issues going on in the trucking industry right now, including digital IDs in trucks and the speed limiter bill that they plan on moving forward with in June of 2023. But his main concern is right now is, again, back to the broker transparency rates and all that stuff. And like I told him, I said, you guys did this in 2022. Not 2022, but 2020. And then TOO, you know, you guys didn't worry about the regulations and all that. And we warned you back then that if we don't stand up for the regulations now, along with your issues, we will have to revisit this. And I was right. We were right. And right now they're worried about their rates and the fuel costs. Like he said, he's paying like almost $7 a gallon for fuel down there, and rates are just, they're dumped through the tank. I get their frustration. I sat in Chicago 2 or 3 weeks ago, just outside of Chicago, and my dispatch, I'm leased onto a company, they dispatched me on a load, and I said, how much does it pay? Well, it pays $1,050 to go from Chicago, Illinois to Minneapolis, Minnesota. I said, I'm not taking that. Well, it pays for your fuel to get up there. I said, I'm not out here to pay for my fuel. I'm out here to make a living. And if people want me to haul their freight for free, tell them no. I'd rather sit here. So I did. I sat there for another day, and they couldn't find nothing. I ended up driving my truck empty back to Minnesota to go home, 500 miles. Cost me $375. But you know what? I stood by my principles. I didn't haul cheap freight. But no, that's I'm sorry, I get off on a rant. But that's what they want to go in there for. For you know the price, the rate of fuel and freight rates. So I mean, what are your thoughts, Chris? I mean, we gotta go in there and demand more, don't you think?
Well, you know, here's the thing. The DOJ investigation into freight brokering practices was done, of course, under the Trump administration. Unfortunately, we as an industry were successful in pressuring Trump to get behind launching that investigation just, you know, right before the campaign season got really hot and heavy. And then, of course, Joe Biden won the election, and you know, a new cabinet was put in place, a new Department of Justice came in, and they quit looking at freight brokering practices, and now look where we are. Now all of a sudden the rates are back in the toilet again, because they're probably back up to the same tricks, because you know, the people that they made campaign contributions to run things are looking the other way.
Yeah, and I think you're right. We warned them back in 2020. Listen, in 2020, when we rolled into Washington, D.C., and I'm going to divide these people up into groups, and I'm not trying to be a racist or any of that. I'm just telling you the truth of who was there and what they were standing for. We had a group on our side that were mainly just straight up American truck drivers, have been there, you know, truck drivers their whole lives, and have been advocates in the trucking industry. And then we had a group of Eastern Europeans that rolled in from the New York State area, the East Coast, and they were fighters. Let me tell you, they were there, and they were there for the broker transparency and the rates. And we, as much as we try to tell them, we have to fight for more than that. If we're here, we're here. We're all here. And we knew within a short period of time that they were only in it because they were going broke. What they didn't realize that if we don't stand up for everything right now, you're going to go broke in the long run anyway. So let's preserve it. If we're here to fight, let's do it. But there was that group. And then there was a group of, I want to say they were they're Cuban immigrants or Cuban descent. But I might be wrong. But they were, God, I wish I could remember what they were. It doesn't matter. But there were so many different, there was a very diverse group of people that rolled in there together. And basically for the trucking industry was in deep shit in May of 2020. There was rates out there for a buck a mile. Well, everybody knows, well, that are truckers, it costs us at least a dollar a mile to run our trucks down the road. That, I mean, at that time, the fuel was a little bit cheaper. So, but we still have maintenance. We still have to pay ourselves. And some of the rates I seen were 50 cents to 96 cents a mile. The brokers were being absolutely ridiculous. And now I just got a text message from, I don't know who I asked who it was, and they got upset when I asked who it was and whatever. I don't remember everybody. I talked to everybody with so many people that everybody expects me to remember who they are, what they are. And once this guy would tell me who he was, I'd feel like an asshole, I'm sure, but I'd be like, I'm sorry, man. It's exhausting doing what we do. But he was telling me that, let me just get to his text message here. There's an extremely high contact at C.H. Robinson. They are going to lay off trucks and employees probably after the first of the year. Freight is an absolute bloodbath out here. I have not moved all week from Wisconsin and have a driver with a dry van stuck in Ohio for 3 days now. Coyote is doing some strange things as well, and it's disrupting from hiring their seasonal employees for UPS tracking. Get your dry goods stocked up. It's about to get bad, brother. So, listen. When you're getting text messages like that, and I apologize to the guy that I don't remember who he is, and I guarantee I know who he is if you just tell me his name without being so offended. But anyway, this isn't going to be good. We have diesel shortages in Nebraska and South Dakota right now. They're lifting all hours of service regulations for fuel haulers. And it's not just diesel. It's gas. It's propane. Everything. I just read an article today that said, oh, you don't have to worry about diesel's not – we're not going to run out of diesel. That was from NBC. The mainstream media – I wish people would wake up and just realize the mainstream media do not have your best interests in mind. What do you think, Chris, about this whole diesel shortage and – the way the freight rates are, because you've seen it when you were out in Washington a couple of weeks ago. You see the mess we're in this industry right now again. What do you think about this? I mean, what's your opinion on this?
The economy is going to hell, which we knew it would, and tried to warn people that, you know, policies that were being instituted were going to result in this type of economic situation. Of course, we were all a bunch of, go ahead and say it, you know, tinfoil hat wearing crazy conspiracy theorists. And it turns out, you know, 30 years of studying economic concepts paid off, and we were completely correct in our prediction, unfortunately. But, I mean, yeah, it's the rates are going down. No one's looking at the brokers. I'm pretty sure they're back to scalping things at unbelievable rates, you know, because, I mean, I deadheaded back all the way from Seattle to pick up a transformer in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, because basically with the cost of me deadheading all the way back to Milwaukee from Seattle and then what the load paid, it paid enough that I broke even. Now, there was a broker offering a load from Washington to Brooklyn, New York. And you know what? It was a ridiculous rate. I was going to break even on that too. Well, if I'm going to break even, of course, I'm going to break even by my own volition. And I'm going to do it by deadheading to the guy that's actually paying what they should be paying. So all the truck drivers need to do that. Quit hauling this. Quit making these brokers yacht payments for them while you work for free. You're making yourself their slave. Knock it off. But, yeah, that's where we are. I mean, the fuel surcharge is going up, but the shipping rate itself is going down, you know, even in the contract freight. And it just sucks. It's hard to make a living out here. I know you're probably in the same boat I am. You know, it's not just that inflation is making your life more expensive, but because of our rise in cost, we're actually making less money than we were last year, while the cost of everything else has doubled, you know. So, yeah, I know it's been a really tough year for me. I'm sure it's been a tough one for you. We got to do something, you know, but unfortunately we can only get guys to protest we can only get a lot of these guys will only come out and protest when their pocketbook is getting hit, and you can't seem to make them understand we have to demand the changes in the system that allows that to happen. And that's the one thing they don't get. Then they go on the news talking about more money and everybody's just like, Oh, you don't think you make enough money? Welcome to the club. And yeah, it's just, I don't know. I'm kind of like you. That's why I'm not really involved in a lot of the activism anymore, is we just can't pull this industry together. And we got a bunch of people out here that can't see the forest for the trees.
No, and that's the facts right there. That's why Tony decided that he doesn't want to be involved. That's why I've decided I'm kind of stepping back, and just like you just said, Chris, too. And I mean, we have, you know, Lisa and Lee Schmidt are good people. They're friends of mine. I really love those guys. They their heart's in the right place, and they're doing their best to make change. They just got involved with a new organization that they are really talking up. Apparently this is going to be bigger than OIDA. And I hope it is. I truly do. I mean, we need OIDA. And I'm sorry if I talk shitty about OIDA, but what have they done? Whenever we were doing a slow roll, they would never get involved. They would never tell people, hey, these guys are fighting for the industry, go join them. They never did that. You know what they did? They criticized us. And it's sickening. Well, we don't have an opinion on that. They can't get involved because they're a 501c3. I believe I'm correct on that. But even if they're not, and they chose not to get involved in their own industry that they say they're representing, listen, the boots on the ground is what's going to make the difference. Not your bullshit Senate hearings with politicians that are taking money from the ATA and the lobbyists. You think they're going to listen to you? Because, oh, you have a better idea? No, they're going to listen to whoever's filling their pocketbook. And OIDA doesn't have enough money to lobby in Washington. That's a fact. The ATA is they're represented. They represent all the big trucking companies. J.B. Hunt, I believe, Swift, CR England, and I might be wrong on who they represent, but I do know that they represent a good majority of the big trucking companies. I don't want to give you fake information. So the ATA, the American Trucking Association, and that's what is laughable, because they call themselves the American Trucking Association. What they are is nothing more than a big-ass lobbying group that takes money from the big trucking industries to pass the agendas that they want seen. Why do you think we got the ELDs? Why do you think we're getting the speed limiters? Because their drivers are Jesus. I mean, they'll go to McDonald's and see a fry boy that's pissed off at being a fry boy, and they'll throw him in a training program for 2 weeks, and all of a sudden he's a professional driver. Well, I'm sorry, but that's not how it's supposed to work. And that's what they do, and it's the cold hard facts. I'm looking for what Lisa texted me about this new organization that they're involved with, because there's too much for me to remember. And everybody, you know, they text me or they call me, oh, I can't believe you didn't remember this. Like, dude, I've got 80,000 people texting me or calling me, or they want this, can you help with this? I don't have the time, and I honestly don't want to make the time, because I've done it. I spent tens of thousands of dollars standing up for this country, for this industry, and for this country. And what do I get in return? Criticism? No. Fuck that, dude. I'm not involved. I don't want to be involved. This new organization is called CDL Drivers Unlimited. They've got a website up, and again, that is CDL Drivers Unlimited. Just go look it up. They have a phone number. They have email set up. They've got a fuel discount program. It sounds legit, and I don't think Lisa and Lee would steer me in the wrong direction. I do believe they're heavily involved in that. And listen, there's other people that have come out this last week criticizing other groups. There's another group out there, Trucker Matt and Jason Vind and Charles Claiborne on TikTok. They're trying to put something together to another organization or whatever they're doing. And I got and made a TikTok, and I've said this publicly. I'm not a fan of Charles Claiborne. Charles is, me and him have a history, and it's not always been a good one. But I refrain from getting into what that history is, because it doesn't matter. That's between me and him. The fact of the matter is that they've got three guys. Trucker Matt, I've talked to him on the phone. I've talked to Jason Vind, and obviously talked to Charles Claiborne. They're trying something, okay? In my opinion, whenever anybody is standing up to do anything, to try to make a change, you have to support them regardless of your personal feelings. If it's going to affect you positively in the long run, if they make the change, why wouldn't you support them? Because why? Because you have you're stubborn and you have a personal opinion that's not positive towards somebody? That's stupid. You're only shooting yourself in the foot. So that group is starting. This other group I just told you about is starting. And you know what? That's what's going on in the trucking industry. Those of you that, and if you're listening, that are starting to do your live videos and starting to cause distress. I'm not going to name names. People, you can figure this out on your own. It doesn't matter. I don't want to get into that drama. Because actually the person that is doing the lives, I thought me and him have hashed our stuff out, and I really don't have problems with him, except for the fact that he's, you know, inserting himself into people that are trying to stand up and putting him down, and I don't like that. But just stop. If you're not going to stand up and help, then just step back and let them do their thing. And if they fall, they fall. But encouraging them to fall is not helping us any. So why would you do that? So just stop. Let them be. I'm not advocating for anybody, except for anybody that's willing to stand up. So regardless of my personal feelings, that's my stance on it. So on that note, we talked about the trucking industry, what's happening in the trucking industry, what's, you know, the phone calls I got. I want to get Chris more involved in this next story, because it's funny. Well, It's not funny per se, but it's weird. After this break, just a short break, I'm going to give you the guest call-in number. So if you have an opinion of anything that we talked about tonight, even if we're in a different subject and you want to go back to something, that's fine. I'll give you that phone number as soon as we get back from the short 1 minute break.
There are folks out here who still take pride in their everyday ride. Low profilers, million milers, chicken lights, and chrome stylers. The ones who do whatever it takes to keep America rolling. Those who know if a job is worth doing, it's worth doing right. Olsnot. Great products for real people. It may not be new, but it's Olsnot new.
Well, for God's sake. Now do you think I could find my other my other 30-second little jam I wanted to play there? Of course not. No, because I'm an idiot. That's the story of my life. If things worked like perfect for me just once, it would honestly, I'd probably have a stroke. I'd be like, no, okay, yeah, that didn't happen. I found it. Hey, okay, 27 more seconds, and then I'm going to give you the phone number, the guest call-in number, and so get your pen and your paper handy, okay, and keep that put in your phone so every week you can call in, share your opinion live on air, uncensored. On the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show.
Let me thank Trucker Tools for helping us out and supporting our messages. Trucker Tools is an all-in-one app for truckers and their business. The Trucker Tools app was built from feedback from real drivers and is always being updated to better assist drivers in saving time, running more efficiently, and making more money. Check out their website at truckertools.com. That's Trucker Tools, the app for truckers.
And I actually use that Trucker Tools app, and, well, I did a load that I had to be tracked off of it. And, man, you get find truck stops on there. You can find fuel stops, all that good stuff. Anyway, truckertools.com, go check them out, and go look up Olsnot. Olsnot is a wonderful product. I use that, and I still got to get Chris his box of Olsnot, I promised him, and I'll get that to you, buddy. But anyway, let's move on to the show. Chris has fallen asleep over there because he hasn't had much airtime yet, and I want to get him on the air because I like his point of view, and I'm a blabbermouth tonight. Anyway, Chris, why don't you just lead us off with this story, the Paul Pelosi story. What do you know about this? And you just started off and let people know what happened because, hey, I'm sure everybody knows, but we'll start that way. You start this off.
You know, let me start off by calling for sympathy for my poor father. Earlier today, he called me while I was driving down Interstate 81 with some breaking news. And he let me know at the time the breaking news, which changed a little bit, was that a prisoner had escaped, had stolen a cop car, had run over police officers. He was armed and dangerous, and in an area that I was going to be driving through shortly. And you know, Dad's looking out for me. He feels like I just really would need to be aware that there's an armed guy, escaped inmate, in a stolen police car, you know, in the area where I'm going to be, because you know, who knows what he might try to pull out on the highway. And I just start laughing, and my dad's just like, Why are you laughing? I said, because it's funny. And he said, what's funny about that? I said, what's not funny about it? But I don't know. You know what? He doesn't get my dark, twisted sense of humor. So I kind of traumatized him with that earlier. And it's kind of like my sense of humor on this whole Paul Pelosi thing. I actually just looked at a meme of a guy wearing a carpenter's belt with a claw hammer hanging on the side, and it said open carry in San Francisco. You know, I haven't even been able to keep up with the changes of this story, but the initial breaking story, of course, I think everybody is on board with that one. You know, guy breaks out the window middle of the night. All of a sudden, he's attacking Paul Pelosi with a hammer, and screaming, "Where's Nancy?" And then, you know, the story kind of started to unravel a little bit because things didn't make sense. The glass was broken outward from inside instead of, you know, inward, like someone had struck it from outside to get in the house. That was a little odd. They got a hold of the 911 audio where he says that there's someone in his house, but then he refers to the guy as being his friend, which, again, is strange. Someone just broke into your house and they're attacking you with a hammer, and you're going to tell the cops that it's your friend in the house. Again, kind of strange. You know, it's just he was in his underwear. No, he wasn't in his underwear.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
I forgot to do something. I'm sorry to interrupt you, brother.
Yeah.
I said I was going to give you the guest call-in number, and I went right to the Paul Pelosi story. I was excited. Sorry. The guest call-in number, ladies and gentlemen, if you got a pen and paper handy, I'm sorry. And I apologize to Chris for interrupting him. But the guest call-in number is 516-387-1733. And when you get through, just make sure you press the number 1. That lets our switchboard know that you want to be on air live and share your opinion. Again, that phone number for you, those of you listening over the internet, it's 516-387-1733. And make sure, again, press that number 1. Okay. I had to get that out there, Chris. Go ahead, brother.
All right. So just to remind everybody where we were in the story, Paul Pelosi's in his underwear. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, and his friend, who's not his friend, is screaming at him about his wife while maybe or maybe not brandishing a hammer, possibly or possibly not, in witness by a third man who maybe was in the house or maybe was not, depending upon what version of the police report and the media account you want to go with. So that's pretty much where I am, because initially they said that there was a third person there that opened the door to let the police in, which has since changed. No, there wasn't a third person there. I don't know if the police report changed. Yeah, I don't, because apparently they got that from the police report. I don't know if the cop was like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I thought there was a third guy there, but I forgot that I did psilocybin mushrooms before the start of my shift." So I don't know what the hell is going on. Stop laughing out there. This is a serious show. What do you think? What have you got, Jer?
Well, yeah. Here's what I got. So, as you all well know, that Elon Musk actually took over Twitter. He actually did it. And tomorrow, he's set to fire 50% of the workforce at Twitter. Now, hear me out on this. I know this is kind of changing subjects a little bit, but I'm going to get back to the Paul Pelosi story here just shortly. As much as I'm not a fan of the extreme left liberal agenda or attitude, because they find it okay, and they cheer on the censorship of conservatives or anybody that has a differing opinion or view than what they have. That I do not approve of. As much as I despise their viewpoints and their mentality, I don't think that anybody deserves to be censored or canceled. Much like I have in on social media, especially. What bothers me about this is that 50% of the workforce is going to get fired on November 4th, and that's a little less than 2 months before Christmas time. And it's his business. It's just his choice what he wants to do. It leaves a little bit like a taste in my mouth. However, that being said, I'll play the devil's advocate. If you were doing your job and you weren't being such Nazis, you wouldn't have had to worry about it. So there a lot of them are criticizing Musk. A lot of them are criticizing the fact that he said no more working from home, because they're still living out of fear in their closets with masks on, thinking that, you know, the COVID-19 virus is going to you know, pop through an air vent and kill them. They refuse to look at the raw data, all of the information about COVID-19, remdesivir, vaccines, any of that. They don't want to see it. They call it misinformation, whatever. So anyway, getting back to the Paul Pelosi story. Hillary Clinton, of course, jumped on the bandwagon that this was some MAGA supporter that believed in conspiracy theories and blah, 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 blah. Well, Elon Musk tweeted back to Hillary Clinton a story from the Santa Monica Observer claiming that there might be something more. It might be, you know, a little bit more than what the eye can see. Right away, mainstream media jumped on that and, oh, he's sharing unfounded conspiracy theories and misinformation on his new platform and blah, 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 blah. Exactly what the Democrats, well, the far left liberals do, the establishment, the propagandists, that's what they do. So here's the story that he shared. I happen to find it because Elon Musk eventually went in and deleted that response, which I thought was, no, dude, don't you dare bend down to the woke. You're going to get a lot of shit from the woke. They are going to attack you from all sides when they don't like something. I've been the last two nights in a row on Twitter, dude, I've been attacked like I've never been attacked before. It's like, holy shit. The algorithms must have changed or something, because I used to be silenced on there. But anyway, here's what it said. Santa Monica Observer report of Paul Pelosi and David DePape, October 29th, 2022. Quote, the awful truth. Paul Pelosi was drunk again and in a dispute with a male prostitute early Friday morning. End quote. Okay. Now, this is coming from Santa Monica Observer, not me. I'm just reading it. Santa Monica Observer report of Paul Pelosi and David DePape on October 29, 2022, the awful truth. Well, Paul Pelosi stated that he doesn't know who the male is, but he advised that his name is David and that he is a friend. Yeah, right. All right. So that, now here's the update, 10:30. In response to this story, San Francisco police said today that victim Pelosi and suspect DePape did not know each other prior to the attack. San Francisco Police Department reaffirmed that the assault followed a break-in. So, here's the story. As San Francisco's gay bars closed at 2 a.m., two gay men met in a bar and went home together. Happens every night in the city by the bay. Except one of those two men was married to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. This is the story, not my words. I'm just reading it. I might disappear for telling you the truth. If I do, you all know why. But here's what really happened early Friday morning in San Francisco. In my humble opinion, according to San Francisco Police Department, they stated that there's a male in the home and that he's going to wait for his wife. Then they stated that he doesn't know, or is that it? Yeah. He stated that he doesn't know who the male is, but he advised that his name is David and that he is a friend. The dispatch official said, RP sounded somewhat confused. It's been a rumor for years in San Francisco that Paul Pelosi is gay, which I could give two shits about. But anyway, David DePape is said to be a Castro nudist. The lunatic who allegedly assaulted Paul Pelosi is a Berkeley resident and a former Castro nudist protester and hemp jewelry maker. Sounds totally MAGA Republican to me. That's from Twitter. Okay, so here's the theory. As related to me by a source, Castro nudists are a group of really radical gay male prostitutes that parade around naked cock rings. First of all, the police did not come in response to an alarm. They came in response to a wellness check. So someone called them to check in on Pelosi. When he didn't answer the phone, the cops broke the sliding glass door to get in. Pelosi was struggling with the suspect, who was in his underwear. Pelosi owned the hammer, not DePape, or the male prostitute was doing something Pelosi didn't like. And then there was a press conference when they didn't know the mic was on. During that, a reporter confirmed that the suspect was in fact a gay Castro nudist, but authorities told him he couldn't use it. The fuck? Sorry, excuse my language. Now tell me something. These people are worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Nancy is third in line to the presidency. You don't think they have the most amazing security? And by the way, when Pelosi was in the drunk driving accident, he had a young man with him. And that, too, was covered up by the police and the press. So how would suspect DePape have been able to break a window that without triggering an alarm, which he didn't, the police broke the window to gain entry? There was only one hammer, and it belonged to Pelosi. And only one cop quoted the perpetrator saying, "Where is Nancy?" None of the other sources said that happened. And one of them could easily have broken that window. Remember, there was no alarm triggered. How would suspect DePape have gotten into that house without doing that? The cops smashed the glass to gain entry. Called 911 to initiate a wellness check. Either Nancy or her staff, who didn't hear from Paul all evening and suddenly it's 2 a.m., or a neighbor hearing a fight at the Pelosi residence. Admittedly, David DePape is a known nutcase. He's an election denier, says mainstream media, who has posted conspiracy theories online. That may be true, but he also lives in Berkeley, where he is a 42-year-old career student. My law firm served a lawsuit against Paul Pelosi one time in San Francisco after attempting to serve at other residences, Napa and Georgetown. They weren't home, but staff were, and multiple law enforcement officers were on the perimeter. Break-in is odd, given this level of security, said Harmeet Dillon, Republican National Committee Chairman. Okay, so before we continue on to this story, I want to get Chris's thoughts on what I've read so far. And if you have any thoughts, listeners, please call in and share your thoughts, because this story gets crazier. Chris, go ahead. Based off of what I just read, what's your thoughts?
I think it's a crazy conspiracy theory. I think that the obvious, more likely scenario is that, you know, the Secret Service and the FBI, the Capitol Police, you know, they really don't focus that much security attention to the third in line's house right before a major hot election. And I think this guy managed to slip past all that security in the middle of the night without setting off any alarms at all, without being viewed. I did hear one good joke that they hired the security guards that were watching Epstein to monitor the Pelosi house. No, I think that's entirely possible. I mean, I don't know that that's the message you want to, by the way. Do you really want to tell the world that your security is so horrible that a random nudist prostitute can just wander up to the house, break the glass, get in, and attack someone that's third, you know, in a household that's third in line for the presidency? Is that the kind of message you want to send out there? That's how bad our security is? I mean, sheesh. Obviously, I'm not buying the media narrative. I don't believe for a second you could get anywhere near the Pelosi household, especially right before the midterms, especially with all the death threats and various, you know, threats of violence and you know, I'm going to burn your house down and all that I'm sure they receive from some of the crazies out there. And, yeah, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. There's no way. You couldn't get within a mile of that house without raising a red flag and getting an immediate response of some type. Unless, of course, you were a guest of someone inside.
Well, so we revisit this article. This is from the Santa Monica Observer. Now, people, you have to understand something. You don't put that kind of information out there if you're lying, because people like the Pelosi's will sue the shit out of you for defamation or slander in a heartbeat when you put stuff like that out there. Okay, so just bear with me here. If I would have said that without saying where my source came from, I don't know the law that well, but I'm pretty sure they could probably come after me for slander if it was my own opinion. Or I do believe we do have a right to our opinion as long as you don't claim it to be fact. I don't know how that all goes. They did write that on the Santa Monica Observer that it's an opinion piece. So maybe that saves them from all legalities. I don't know. But from the beginning of this story, at first it was two hammers. The police entered. A third party opened the door, by the way, who is unidentified. And Pelosi, who was in his underwear at 2:30 in the morning, which if he was sleeping, understandably so, because if you woke me up at 2:30 in the morning, I'd be in my underwear too. However, they said that DePape was in his underwear also. And they each had a hammer, and they were fighting each other. And then it went to, there was one hammer they were trying to fight over, and then he grabbed it away from Paul Pelosi and cracked him in the head, causing a skull fracture. All right. Then all of a sudden it went from, no, well, first, let's recap for 1 second. Paul Pelosi, in the middle of an argument, talked the assailant into letting him go to the bathroom where his phone was conveniently charging. Okay, that could be true. But my question is, who charges their phone in the bathroom? I don't ever charge my phone in the bathroom. Why would I charge my phone in the bathroom? But it could happen. I don't know what – I mean, they live in an $8 million house. Maybe their bathroom is like a living room. I have no idea. But it doesn't make sense to me, the phone being in the bathroom, number one. Number two, if this guy was really serious about attacking Paul Pelosi, do you think he's going to let him out of his eyesight? No, but he did. Okay, so he gets to the bathroom, calls 911. I heard the 911 tapes, and he said, hey, there's this guy here. I don't know who he is, but he's a friend, and his name is David. Like, what? You don't know who he is, but he's a friend, and his name is David. I heard the 911 tapes. What does that mean? It's like... Now we rewind to how long ago was it that he got in that drunk driving accident and there was a male that they claimed was in the car with Pelosi in that accident? That was all covered up. How the fuck do these people get by on a day-to-day basis, on a week-to-week basis, with not only the media, but now they have the San Francisco Police Department involved, changing stories, changing police reports, and nobody's held accountable? Are these people that powerful that, well, I'm scared to lose my job? Listen, asshole, while you're scared to lose your job, you're literally letting America be destroyed from within, from these people that could give two shits about you and me. All they care about is money. That's all they care about. And you're scared about losing your job? You know, back when the mandates were going on with COVID-19, and they were talking about mandating truckers in America to get the shot, or you wouldn't be able to get a valid health card. I made a decision long time ago when that happened that if they mandated on our industry, I'm done. I will not get that shot, because anytime you force me to do something, it's not, I guarantee you, it's not good for society. And that's what they did. And unfortunately, military, healthcare workers, teachers, EMS, fire departments, police officers, and they fought it all over the country. Trust me, they fought it. Some of them had to cave because they have a family to feed, and I understand that. My kids are grown, thank God. But I was willing to say no. That's the same thing. Any of you, San Francisco Police Department, you cowards at the FBI, you cowards at the CIA, we all know who you're working for. We've talked about it numerous times on the show, the World Economic Forum. There's, you know, here, Chris, you want to hear something really cool, really funny, actually? Me and you, as much as we've talked about the New World Order and the World Economic Forum and how we get called conspiracy theorists, that's just simply not true. You guys go drink the Kool-Aid, blah, 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 blah. You want to hear something funny, Chris? I read an article out of the Wall Street Journal today. The New World Order is falling apart, and here's 16 reasons why. Here's the charts. What are your thoughts on that, Chris, out of the Wall Street Journal? Did we get proven right again?
Yeah, the Wall Street Journal has been mysteriously running a lot of right-wing, kind of strange. I've been picking up on that. I don't know if they're trying to recapture a lost audience or I don't know what's behind it, but you know, it's just like everything else, right? I mean, step by step from the start of this pandemic, we threw these crazy conspiracy theories out, and it went from, oh my God, that's not going to happen, you're crazy, that's not what's going on, you're crazy, to, oh, you know, a month later, 2 months later, oh, that is actually happening, and you were right all along. And they completely skip over that part and go straight to, of course that's what's happening, and it needs to happen that way, and this is why it's happening that way. Right. But, yeah, a lot of things are starting to come out now.
Yeah, you have to pay attention and quit. Get out of your fucking echo rooms where they tell you the same thing over and over and over again. And you got people like me and Chris and Kim and Daryl and a lot of other people out here, not just us, a lot of other people trying to sound the alarm. And we have for a long time. You look, we're going to get into this Brazil thing because I know you've been keeping up on that too, Chris. But, you know, through our text messages on radio chat, we talk to each other during the show and just, you know, remind each other of different things. And Kim brought up a good point. Didn't they say none of their cameras were not working? I looked at an aerial footage. It must have been done by a drone or something. There was cameras pointed directly at the door that the Pape supposedly broke out with a hammer. All you have to do is release the footage. But, oh, conveniently, the cameras were not working. Conveniently, your security wasn't working either. I don't know what the hell they were doing. But this reminds me of a story that the media tried to sell the American people and the world about a certain person named Jeffrey Epstein. He was found dead in his jail cell, by suicide. Okay, so where's the cameras? They weren't working. Oh, okay. Well, how about the jailers? Well, he fell asleep. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to start putting the fucking puzzle pieces together here and wake up. This, you don't have two coincidences like this and something not going on. There's something going on. It's not a conspiracy theory anymore. It's right in your face. They're lying to you. They think you're stupid, and you buy right into their bullshit. You have to wake up. Please. I don't know what happened to people's critical thinking ability, but it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, do you see the comparisons, Chris? I mean, with this incident and the Jeffrey Epstein, and I get it that it's different cases or different, you know, bottom lines, whatever I'm trying to say. But the details surrounding an attack and a death concerning security guards and cameras, what's your thoughts on that, Chris? I mean, it's just too coincidental for me.
Yeah, I don't buy it. I mean, I'm sorry. Third in the line of succession, if there was a problem with any of the security systems monitoring that house, especially right now, I can guarantee you someone would physically be there guarding that place, in addition to whoever is probably already guarding that place, until they got that problem fixed.
Well,
so, no, I'm not buying it. You know, we've got some of the, you know, we've got some camera systems with just some amazingly timed glitches lately. It's crazy.
Well, I mean, for God's sake, Chris, we see all these videos on Facebook, Twitter, and any other social media platform where you literally get to see a whole crime being committed on a frickin', what is it, the Ring camera or whatever. What's that called?
Yeah, the Ring doorbell camera.
Yeah, I mean, you could see the whole crime being committed right there on a frickin' doorbell camera. But conveniently, your security system didn't work, and Secret Service, if that's how they protect the third in line in the United States, I demand that they get every one of them removed and we get new security personnel in there because you failed. I see we have a caller. And 9322, if your phone number ends in 9322, we're going to put you on the air right now to let you share your opinion. And you are on the air, 9322. Who are we talking to, and what would you like to add to the conversation?
Hey, this is Tony.
Oh, hey, Tony. What's going on, man?
I think it's Trump's fault and China's fault that the cameras don't work and the security was lacking. And, you know, it definitely wasn't anything that the Democrats or Republicans or anybody would be trying to cover up. You know, it's got to be China or Trump. You know, that's a standard answer for everything nowadays, you know.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I just tweeted out earlier. I said, if there is, in fact, a huge red wave at midterms, you know exactly what the liberals are going to do? They're going to start tweeting out like crazy that the Democrats lost.
They've already been coming up.
They're going to tweet out that the Democrats lost the midterms because Elon Musk took over Twitter and was allowed to spread misinformation. And if it's not that, it's because Trump influenced the election. It's because Trump, he cheated. Do you agree with me or disagree?
Oh, yeah. They're already blaming and already saying that Republicans are going to steal the election. You know, it cracks me up. But yet, when you talk about a presidential election and a governor's election out in California and a Senate race in Georgia being stolen, they look at you like that you're crazy and it's, you know, that you're nuts, you know, but they're already using the excuse. I don't think we're going to have a fair election in our country ever again.
No, because we didn't fix 2020. There was too many discrepancies in 2020. And, of course, the left, you know just as well as I do, Chris and Tony, that they denied every bit of it, that we're conspiracy theorists. That's their new thing now. We're misinformation and disinformation, two new words that they put in the vocabulary. The fact of the matter is there was discrepancies all over the country. And rather than put people's minds at ease and say, you know what, if you guys think that there was any kind of cheating, we will perform an audit from an outside source, a third party, that is not Republican or Democrat. We will do that so we can prove to you that these elections were fair, that there was no cheating, everything was good. But they didn't do that. What did they do? It was court case after court case after court case after court case, blocking challenges, blocking this, blocking that. I had one liberal the other day on Twitter. There were 62 court cases where they blocked it because there wasn't any evidence. There wasn't enough evidence, is what they said, enough evidence. When I hear that.
If there was any evidence, they should have looked into it.
Exactly. I was just going to say that, Tony. You and I have talked about that. If there's any evidence, it should be looked into. There's not enough evidence. Voting is like the most sacred thing in this country at this point. This is where people get their voices heard. And if we can't trust our electoral system, this country is through. This is the fall of Rome right in front of your eyes, right under your nose. And if you don't believe that, they cheat in the midterms. And if they are successful, this country is done. We will be a socialist country. We will be everything that you liberals have been cheering on. You're going to find out real fast that you were fucking wrong. Chris, what's your thoughts on all this?
They'll never admit they were wrong. They will never see that they were wrong. They don't have the mental capacity to do that.
It's sad. You know, I had a conversation today. I'll keep Tony on here, too, because I told Tony about this earlier. I'm not going to say who it was from and who was it about, but it was about somebody that I know who recently died at a young age, died of a heart attack. And I said to this person, I just want these people held accountable for what they've done to people. They've killed people. People are grieving the loss of their sons, their daughters, their moms, their dads, and whatever. They're grieving the loss of their loved ones. I asked this person, I said, did they get the final results back from the autopsy? Yeah, they did. They had an enlarged heart, and there was blockage at 36 years old. Dead, gone, forever. One really young daughter. And they still refuse to believe that the vaccines have anything to do with it. And like I told Tony earlier, I said, you know, maybe it's because they know deep down in their heart that this is true. They know that this is going on, but they really cannot take knowing that for a fact because it would completely destroy everything that they believed in, kind of like it did to me. And I see Brian wants to get on here. Let me add Brian into this conversation too. Tony, I'm going to keep you mic'd up too, okay, brother? 1 second, I'm going to add Brian on here. Hey, Brian, welcome to the show, brother. How you doing, man?
Oh, living the dream.
What do you want to add to this conversation?
Well, I was going to say something extremely smart-ass, but after talking about your friend there, I'm not so convinced it's the wisest idea. But, but I will say this. That whole Pelosi thing, the one thing that I think everybody's missing the most, and the thing that, frankly speaking, scares the hell out of me the most, did you notice that they're wanting the D.C. Capitol Police to investigate this?
Yes. And did you know that they have an office in San Francisco now? D.C. Capitol Police actually have an office,
yes.
A precinct? Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I lived in California for a while, so I know exactly how backwards it is and how they don't get anything done. But do we really need to send people from 3,000 miles away to go investigate a crime that another group can do just as easily, you know, in their jurisdiction? It just kind of goes back to that notion that I think what we're getting at is they're trying to nationalize everything that they possibly can. You had Hillary Clinton earlier talking about how terrifying it is that state legislatures can make rules about the state elections. I mean, my God, imagine that. And
they always have.
Exactly. I think they're doing their damnedest to nationalize as much as they possibly can in a way that
they're weaponizing. They're weaponizing the federal government against its own people. The same thing happened prior to Nazi Germany, the same exact thing. And that is exactly what we've been trying to warn our audience about and everybody on social media that will at least take 2 seconds out of their day just to read it and internalize it. That's exactly what they're doing. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. You're exactly right. I mean, I don't know if you've been following this at all, but they've been using the FACE Act to harass pro-life activists. You know, for you protested in this place 2 years ago. We're now going to bring you up on federal charges. And they've increased that significantly here in the past couple of months. I mean, you go back and you start looking at all this, and it's kind of getting a little 1984-ish, you know, being drunkerish.
I say that all the time. I mean, and here, let me give you a little, I'm going to say one little quick thing. I don't check my mail. I don't look at my mail because there's no law requiring me to get my mail. I've got an address. You can send it there. I can grab my mail. I can throw it on my kitchen table. I can throw it in the fucking garbage for as much as I don't care. I'm not looking at my mail, and I will not answer my door. So you're going to have to catch me out and about. If that's what you're going down to, that level, that you're going to weaponize our federal agencies against your own people, I'm just going to say it. F you. I'm not complying. Come and get me. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I get your point on that, and that might be a pretty decent tactic to use in the future. But we've talked enough. I think you understand. I don't live on Conspiracy Corner, but I think this is awful convenient that we have this fuel shortage coming up. There's a speed limiter garbage they're trying to shove through, and all right. Going on Facebook at the same time. Yeah, the speed limiter is not supposed to take effect till later. But I think what's going to end up happening is they're going to start hollering and carrying on about how the transportation industry has failed us. And so the federal government needs to step in and straighten us out because we just can't get the job done right. I mean, after all, they only made the mess. They only caused the problem. But, you know. What did Ronald Reagan say? The most terrifying words that you could ever hear is, "I'm from the government. I'm here to help." So, just everything's kind of fallen in an odd way, and it's falling faster and faster, I think.
No, I agree with you, Chris. What's your take?
Well, yeah. I mean, if the trucking industry, you know, you've got so many trucking companies that are going bankrupt right now. Now we're going to compound that with a diesel shortage. The speed limiters, aside from the fact that they're going to add a couple of days time on that fresh produce you get in the wintertime from the West Coast, by the way, it's going to add the amount of time it takes to get that to market. In addition, that's also going to bankrupt X number of trucking companies. That, you know, because it reduces the number of loads you can complete in a specified time when you're not able to run the speed limit when you used to be able to run the speed limit, right? So they're going to bankrupt the trucking industry, the big part of it, create this huge, big supply chain mess, and they're going to have to be the saviors to step in and solve the problem they created by more or less nationalizing the trucking industry. They're not going to call it that. They're not going to do it all at once. But it's going to be a little foot-in-the-door policy here and then there. And then the next thing you know, they're running the whole damn thing. You know, they're going to create, you know, economic collapse so that they have to step in and nationalize the banks. We're already seeing what they're doing to the police departments. They don't need to defund it because they've demoralized them to the point you've got record numbers of retirements, record numbers of resignations, and record lows of people applying to get into the job of policing, right? Crime's going through the roof. Now let that problem fester itself out for another year or two as even more cops retire. Especially, I mean, think about it out in Illinois, where I live, after January 1st, when it's just going to turn into complete chaos with the new crime bill, the new bail system, that they're going to that basically just puts violent offenders back out on the street without even so much as posting, happen to post bail. And you have destroyed the moral foundation of the police department so bad, they're leaving in droves. Because of the regulations the government's putting in place, they can't do their jobs. They don't even want to do their jobs anymore because, God forbid, you're the next viral video. You know, if you try to arrest someone and they resist and you actually successfully defend yourself, right? So they're going to use that as an excuse of, man, we have to step in and nationalize the police department now. I mean, everything, they're destroying every part of our infrastructure. And I think Brian is absolutely correct. They're doing it so that they can step in and nationalize every part of our infrastructure. They won't call it socialism. They won't call it communism. They'll just, you know, operate 100% off of communist ideals, but they won't call it communism. And you're a conspiracy theorist, you do.
Well, let me add something to this. Since we have a panel of four guys on here, we got Tony, Brian, me, and Chris. Let's talk about one. I want to add a story to this nightly talk that we have here on Thursday nights. The mother in New York City, where they have the policy, Kathy Hochul, or Hochul, whatever her name is. She's the current governor in New York running against Zeldin, Lee Zeldin. And their policy is there, no cash bail, similar to what's going to go into effect in Illinois starting January 1st of 2023, where if you are arrested for a violent crime, including domestic spousal abuse, you're booked and you're released. Guess what that guy did? Okay, so she had a restraining order against him, this guy. She was wearing a bulletproof vest with her three children. She was scared to death of this guy. He gets arrested for assaulting her. The very next day or 2 days later, I can't remember which one it was, he finds her, and while she's with her kids, shoots her in the head execution style right in front of her three children, kills her. That just happened not too long ago. This is what you're voting for on midterms, ladies and gentlemen, if you vote for Democrat policies. I'm sorry if you're a Democrat. I used to be a Democrat. I get it. It hurts to know that your side that you supported all these years have turned into the party of this. This isn't the party of understanding. This is the party of let's cause a shitload of problems for America. And you know what? We'll stay in power. We'll create the problem. And we'll convince you that we're fixing the problem. Meanwhile, we're ushering in the New World Order. You need to pay attention, ladies and gentlemen. Let me just go to Tony on this story, the New York City story. What do you think about that when they let this guy out of jail and the first thing he does is go and he shoots this mother of three, execution style, in the head as she's wearing a bulletproof vest because that's how scared she is of this guy? That is Kathy Hochul's New York, and that is also Pritzker, Illinois. That's where you're from, Chris, Illinois. That's what they're trying to do, these Democrats. And guess what, Minnesota? Governor Walz is right on board with this whole policy. Tony, share your thoughts.
Hello?
Okay, Tony, don't you? Oh, there you are.
Yeah, I had my phone muted because I didn't want to. You know, it kind of reminds me of what happened in Kenosha a couple of years ago when that man had a restraining order on him and he went and attacked the woman and the cop shot him because he went for a knife in his car and they had nights of riots and all kinds of shit. And Camel Toe Harris said the guy was a hero, you know. Being a liberal is a mental illness, I believe, you know, and not having a justice system that can control these people is another mental illness, you know. like what we were, you guys are talking about with the trucking industry and that, they control the food, they're going to control the people. They're trying to destroy this company, this country, you know? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, and you're right. And I wanted to make sure that we have, since we got you guys on the line tonight, one opinion's great, two opinions is better, three opinions is even better, and four opinions, wow, that's just genius. So let's go right to Brian. Brian, what are your thoughts about this New York deal? And hell, you can even add into Kenosha with what Tony added in, and whatever else you have an example of.
Well, I'll start off with this and a little preface. Anybody who knows me knows I'm extremely religious. I'm one of those pro-lifers. I don't like a whole lot of violence and so on and so forth. I subscribe to the non-aggression principle. However, I don't recall who said this, but I firmly believe it with all my heart. God made all men, but it was Samuel Colt who made them equal. You notice that you don't end up with those kind of incidences happening left, right, and center somewhere like Texas. It's always in New York, New Jersey, Illinois, California.
The no bill systems, basically.
They disarm everybody. They tell the police officers, oh, by the way, these men over here, they'll protect you. Oh, but wait, no. These men are bloodthirsty killers. They're going to kill you. What? Which one is it? Are they going to protect me, or are they bloodthirsty killers? And it's this cognitive dissonance. I've got to agree, being a liberal, being a Democrat has got to be either a mental illness or somebody who's just flat intellectually lazy. We don't have that
issue. I used to be a Democrat. Like I told you guys, and I don't mean to interrupt you again, this damn this little 1 second delay that we have kind of screws me, but I woke up from it, and me and Tony just had this conversation the other day. Well, if you can wake up from it, why can't everybody else wake up from it? Because I chose to stop listening to the propaganda coming out of the mainstream media, and I started doing my own independent research and observing everything. Like, I invest an exorbitant amount of time observing different things via social media and news sources, and I believe 10% of what I see, because I know that once I start digging into it, their headline is misleading, and it's misleading for a purpose. But go ahead, Brian.
No, like I said, I'm not trying to be mean when I say it that way. You know, Democrats are either mental illness or intellectually lazy. I'm not trying to offend anybody when I say it that way, though I know it sounds that way. But, I mean, you know, we as a country had a pretty decent system for quite a while until somebody got up in a bright idea that they needed to fix this and fix that. I mean, what are we going to do? Instead of throwing these people, these violent criminals in prison, by the way, make sure that you don't hurt somebody's feelings now and make sure that you don't say that Hillary Clinton is a terrible person. You know, they'll lock you up for that one. But, I mean, are we going to start awarding these people free housing next? And I don't mean, you know, in a gated community, you know, that we might call a prison. But, I mean, seriously, where's it been?
No, it's a valid question. It really, truly is. Chris, why don't you share your thoughts on this?
Oh, it's the perfect scenario. They've got everything set up just perfectly. And, of course, you can only accomplish this if you have the media in your pocket. But let's look at the situation you talked about in New York, right? He executes her point-blank range in front of her children with what? A gun, right? Who do we demonize? We don't demonize the man. We demonize the gun. No. We need to disarm you. We need to disarm all of you so that there's not another poor woman that has to, the poor children that have to suffer this type of violence, right? Never mind the fact that we put him back out on the street knowing that he was violent. So it's the gun's fault, right? So we get gun control out of that story. Now let's go to Kenosha. Jacob Blake, right? Violent domestic abuser, has a restraining order, shows up, is terrorizing. The police show up to successfully intervene to stop the violence that he's attempting to do, right? To stop him from, the details might be sketchy, but I think he was maybe stealing her car or something to that effect. I forget exactly what all was going on, but it was all bogus. And so the police do their job. He tries to attack them with a knife, not a gun, a knife. The police step in. They shoot him. They stopped him. So who do we demonize there? We demonize the cops.
The police.
Right? So in New York, we had a gun problem. Now in Kenosha, we have a cop problem. Right? The cops are bad. We have to defund the cops. Until crime's so out of control, we have to federalize the police force. And then, oh, buddy, let me tell all you defund the police people something. As soon as the White House gets to appoint their own federal police force, you can bet your bottom dollar not a damn thing they do is wrong. Anyway, just saying.
Yeah.
Now let's go.
No, and you're right.
Yeah. Let's stay in Kenosha. Kyle Rittenhouse. Good guy with a gun, successfully defends himself against a group of convicted felons trying to kill him. Who do we demonize? The victim. The guy who defended himself, right? Now he's the bad guy. He's a white supremacist. He's a Nazi. He's a murderer. He's not a 17-year-old child that successfully defended himself against convicted felons and one child rapist that were trying to kill him in an angry mob for having the audacity to stop a dumpster fire. He was the devil himself. He was the devil incarnate. He was the poster child of white supremacy. So you can't defend yourself. You can't call the cops to defend you. Right? And, of course, if you attack someone after being let out on their cash bail, no cash bail system, it's the gun's fault, not yours. They have this cornered from every angle, their agenda, and the media plays along with it perfectly, as I suspect they are ordered to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, let me just add... One second. I just want to add something real quick to this. Everybody's talking about the midterms, right? Vote red, vote red, all the way down the ticket. Then you get the other side. Vote blue, save democracy. You know what you need to understand something, okay, ladies and gentlemen? Voting red and voting blue has gotten us where we're at today. Now, I agree. This time, this election, it's pretty detrimental to get these Democrats away in certain states away from office, but not all the way down the line, in my opinion, in my humble opinion. I will be voting for a third-party candidate in Minnesota because I believe in him, and and his name is Travis Bull Johnson. He's been on our show numerous times. But I want you to understand something. When you vote red all the way up and down that ticket and you take away the checks and balances in the system, we're going to swing to a different side of the fence where it's going to cause some major, major, major conflict. And the leadership that we have right now, Mitch McConnell and McCarthy, in top seats of the Senate, if you think that we're going to get the change that we need by voting strictly Republican this time and getting the Democrats out of office, I don't think we are. That's just my opinion. So I want you to think very carefully about it. And furthermore, before I turn it over to Tony, you need to research who your candidates are. Because if they have any association with the World Economic Forum, which are part of the whole plan of the New World Order, please, I beg you to heed the warnings. Do not vote for them. Vote for a third party. If you don't want to vote for a Democrat, fine. If you don't want to vote for a Republican, if any of them have any association with the WEF, you're basically voting us into world communism. And that is no bullshit. Anyway, Tony, go ahead, brother.
You know, Chris brought up demonizing the gun and demonizing the police. I haven't heard anybody bitching about a car and that fucktard that drove through the people in the parade in Waukesha, Wisconsin. What, he kills 11 people, 6 people? But nobody
six,
said,
yep.
Hey, we got to get rid of cars. We got to get rid of cars, you know.
How about the people
it's the
that
same
are
thing.
Like every day, Tony, and all of you guys, New Yorkers wake up every day to another story of somebody that was pushed in front of a subway or what do you call them? Is it a subway car?
Yeah.
Chris?
Subways.
Yeah, in front of the subway trains.
Yeah, every day, like literally almost every day, somebody like these evil motherfuckers, and I'm going to call them what they are, and I apologize for my language, but I get heated sometimes, but and that's not very godly of me, and I apologize, but these people, these evil people are pushing innocent people that are just going about their day in front of moving subway cars, killing them instantly. What kind of a person do you have to be that just stands there waiting for your next victim because you know, there ain't no cash bail in this state. I could literally murder somebody because it's not first-degree murder, it's second-degree murder. And second-degree murder, according to New York and Illinois, starting January 1st, is a non-cash bail offense. You go in, you get booked, you get an ankle monitor, you're off. Adios. Free to do whatever you want and start preying on your next victim. I cannot believe, I don't understand why people, mainly the liberals, mainly the diehard Democrat Party, and I know there's some really great people that are Democrats, very great people. Why are they allowing this to continue to happen? What are they watching on TV? What are they being fed that me, you, and everybody else is not being fed, that they think this is okay, that they are insistent on voting for the Democratic Party this coming midterm? What? What is it? Please, gentlemen, jump in.
Might
tell me,
have an answer.
What am
for
I
on
missing?
That one.
Yeah, I got an answer, too. But go ahead,
it's going to get a little esoteric, so forgive me, all the same. But so we're going to go way, way, way back to an argument, a philosophical argument between two people, Hobbes and Rousseau. Now, a lot of people have heard of one or the other, but they don't really know what's going on. See, Hobbes thought that everybody was a bunch of bastards that only looked out for themselves, and Rousseau thought that everybody was just this, you know, lovey-dovey, everybody get in a drum circle and bang on it, and everything will work out just as soon as we can get all the right laws. Well, obviously, Hobbes thought that was insane. Basically, no, you have to use the laws in order to harness people's natural predilections. People are greedy? Fine, let them be greedy, but make them do something to earn money. Where, like I said, Rousseau is kind of, they're only violent because they don't have any money. Liberals believe that Rousseau is right. And if we just give everybody what they quote-unquote need, then it all works out in the end. And I think that's what a large portion of this comes from, is a fundamental misunderstanding of what makes people tick and what it is that drives us to do what we do. I don't know. I might be missing the mark on that one, but that's kind of what I think, at least.
Yeah, Chris, were you going to say something there?
Yeah, okay. I mean, and I think that is a part of it. You know, I think it is a combination of factors. One of the big ones, though, it's not what they're being fed as much as it is what they're not being fed. You talk about people being pushed in front of subway trains. Very small part of the population knows about that. Because when they turn on CNN or MSNBC or they go on their favorite social media echo chamber, no one's talking about pushing people in front of subways. It's Russia, Russia, Russia. January 6th, insurrection, insurrection, insurrection. If you vote for Republicans, you're voting to end democracy. That's what they're being fed. And they're not being told about all these other things. In fact, they're being told, by the way, you might hear somebody mention one of these random wild things, saying that crime is going up. They might be talking about, what, one person that got shoved in front of a subway train. These are all right-wing conspiracy theorist talking points. That's what they're being taught. That's what they're being told. But 80% of them don't know shit about any of this. They just...
No, I think, actually, I think you hit a good point there, Chris, honestly.
Yeah. All these points that we're bringing up, it's... No one is thinking about it because they don't know about it. Go and mention... The next time someone is a real hardcore talking about the insurrectionist, you know, in the most horrific incident the world has ever seen, the unarmed insurrection of 2021, throw this out there at them. Be like, well, what about the people that attempted to storm the White House and remove the sitting president, setting fires to buildings, cars, injuring 60 federal agents in their attempt to force their way into the White House? What about them? Are they interested? They will look at you and say, what are you talking about? Oh, God. Well, did you hear that on Tucker Carlson? No, I watched it live. I actually watched it
hold
live.
Hold on one second, okay? I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm sitting here at the truck stop in Missouri. And this guy on a flatbed is trying to back into a spot. And he literally just backed underneath of a reefer trailer that had no tractor, you know, no semi attached to it. It's just a trailer. He literally just backed underneath of the trailer. I wasn't even paying attention until I heard a bang. And I'm looking over like, shit, dude, you're in trouble, bro.
Wow.
Yeah.
For the record,
but no,
I just crossed out of Missouri, so it was not me. You should just go ahead and clarify that.
Well, no, this guy's driving a Volvo. So, not that that matters. You know what? Honestly, I drove a Volvo for a while, too. You know what? It made me money. But anyway. No, back to Chris, you know, what you're saying, and all of you guys. You guys are, what's nice about this is you're getting four different views about our thoughts on everything. It might, like, I don't know, turn into the same view eventually, kind of, if you're listening, but we have a big, big problem in this country right now, a big problem. And the biggest problem I see is the suppression of truth and the censorship of truth by big tech. Now, people would like to argue that Elon Musk taking over Twitter is a threat to democracy. That's what all of the left liberal politicians are trying to convince their base, and a lot of them are eating it up. Now, I wanted to get to a different story, a different subject. What I was called. I've been attacked for the last two nights on social media, especially Twitter. When you mentioned, bring up this, when they bring up the insurrection of 2021. A while back, now this doesn't have to do with the last two nights, and we'll get there, but a while back I brought up the fact of somebody posted something about insurrection. Oh, that was an insurrection, and the Republicans are trying to ruin our democracy. If I hear one more person say democracy, it's like we're a constitutional republic. We are. That's what we are. and they try to spin it and turn it whatever, whichever way favors their viewpoints, which that's fine. But I brought up a fact to them. I posted, here's some facts for you on Twitter. I tweeted it out. In 1983, a lady by the name of Susan Rosenberg actually bombed the state capitol, or the capitol in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. Literally bombed it. Her name is Susan Rosenberg. You can look this all up. She was involved with a far-left group, and we've talked about this numerous times on the show, and we'll probably talk about it numerous more times. And I'll let Chris jump in whenever he wants. I believe their name was called the M19s or M18s or something like that.
MK. MK19.
Excuse me. Yeah, there you go. But they, excuse me, they were a far-left group that hated Republicans. They bombed the Capitol. Bombed it, ladies and gentlemen. Bombed it. She was arrested after, I don't know, 2 or 3 years in hiding. She was also accused of being responsible for the killing of police officers and armored car security guards. But she was sentenced to 50-some years in prison. She was pardoned by Bill Clinton on his last day of office of his last term. She was pardoned by Democrat Bill Clinton. She went on to be the vice chair of Thousand Currents. Thousand Currents was responsible for Black Lives Matter financing, fundraising. That is a fact. Now, I don't know if she's still vice chair of that organization, but she was. If you can't put the puzzle pieces together there, you're obviously not going to be able to put the puzzle pieces together here. But we will, on occasion, here at the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show, let you in on a little of the information that we know of. And if you don't get it after that, I apologize to your parents and I apologize to you that you're just not going to get it. And I feel bad for you because you're going to live your whole life like an ostrich with your head buried in the sand. Tony, you want to add to that at all?
Well, I think, you know, all of us guys on the phone right now are drivers, I believe. And we have a curse of having nothing but time on our hands a lot of times. So we have a chance to look up crap and research stuff. But by design nowadays, the soccer moms, the soccer dads, all these other people, the way our economy is and everything else, they don't have the same advantage or curse that we have as drivers, having a ton of time. And by design, they're being fed bullshit. And I don't know what we can do about it to try to get news out to people, but it's...
Well, you brought up another fact, Tony. You brought up...
I almost think... In
that response, you brought up something. The soccer moms and everybody that's working to feed their families by design are too busy to look up what truck drivers have to look up. And we're just called dumb truck drivers. But here's another fact for all of you, and then I'll let Brian respond to any of it. But here's another fact for you all. It's called the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act, M-U-N-D-T. We've also talked about that here on the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. The Smith-Mundt Act was put into place in the early 40s, right in the midst or shortly after World War II, to prevent the same kind of propaganda being spread through the media by your government. It was put into place by Senator Mundt from South Dakota and Smith, and I don't remember where he's from. In 2012 or 11, there was a bipartisan bill called the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act, essentially making it legal for state-run propaganda through our media sources, and went into effect under Obama, under the Defense Act. When I say bipartisan, this is what I want to explain to you. They stuck this little tag into the Defense Act because we needed the Defense Act passed. So basically, they call it a bipartisan pass, right? Because it went, you know, Republicans and Democrats voted on passing the Smith Modernization Act, not so fast. They voted on passing the Defense Act, or the defense bill. The Smith Modernization Act happened to be attached deep down inside the paperwork. So now what you're seeing today, everything that you're seeing on mainstream media, they're not reporting the news, they're reporting an agenda. They're reporting a narrative. They're pushing a narrative. All thanks to the Smith Modernization Act. Brian, floor is yours, my friend.
Well, you're talking about this notion of, you know, how they're controlling us and so on and so forth. And I don't actually disagree with anything that Chris said about why these people keep voting the way that they vote. I think if we were to do two things in this country, we'd see a radical change. Number one, if we actually were to secure our elections. I don't know if you've ever read that book, Jurassic Park, but the arguments I keep hearing about how there's no fraud and so on and so forth remind me of a scene in the book itself. They're sitting there in the control room, and somebody says, hey, how many dinosaurs do we have? Mind you, I'm paraphrasing. And I said, oh, well, we have so many. I'm like, well, how do you know that? Well, we've got a computer program that counts it up. Okay, well, what if you have more dinosaurs? Well, that's not possible. That's not possible. Well, but no, what happened? Well, you know, on the computer program. I don't know. So they play around with it, and they change some parameters so they'll actually count all the dinosaurs and not just stop at a particular number. And sure enough, all of a sudden, they've got a ton more dinosaurs. That's kind of what reminds me of this voting stuff. They keep telling us there's no voter fraud. There's no voter fraud. You're not looking for it. You know, it's almost kind of like I said in that book where there's not a problem because we never knew to look for the problem or decided not to look for the problem. It's kind of like a small child. You know, go clean your room. They walk in. I don't see a mess. Yeah, it's because you're not looking for it. Well, if we were to secure up our elections and if the media were to do its job, I mean, report facts and facts only, I don't think you could get a Democrat or a liberal elected as dog catcher anywhere in this country, including San Francisco. So I don't know a way that we can get that to happen. I mean, either one of them would probably help tremendously. But
No, I agree with you.
Yeah. It's kind of sad and depressing when you hear people continue to spout stuff that you know is not true. Trump excused white supremacists during Charlottesville. No, he didn't. Trump called all illegal immigrants rapists and murderers. No, he didn't. But these are still talking points that keep being brought up because the media keeps telling them or showing them only snippets here and snippets there, and they don't dig any deeper. And I don't know a way to fix it. I genuinely don't.
No, it's a very complicated subject. It really truly is. We're winding down here toward the last minutes of our show. So let me just do this, Brian, first, since I got you unmuted. Thanks for calling in tonight, and your opinion and your viewpoints are always appreciated. So thank you for joining us tonight, Brian.
Not a problem.
All right, we'll catch you later, Brian. All right, that was Brian. He's a regular listener, and we always appreciate his viewpoints. And he's disagreed with me numerous times, and that's good. That's okay. That's the way we have a conversation where we can disagree with each other and share our viewpoints and have a talk and have a discussion about it. That's a good thing, people. Somewhere in the line, it's got mixed up where, if I disagree with you, I got to call you, you know, every name in the book. No, you don't. You can just say, you know what, I disagree with you, and here's why. And let's have a discussion. But I appreciate Brian. And Tony, thank you for joining the conversation tonight. And as again, your opinion, your viewpoint always matters also, and thank you for joining.
No problem.
All right, catch you later, Tony.
Talk to you guys later.
All right, so now we're going to get to Chris. Chris is going to give his last thoughts of the radio show, and I think we had a really nice, healthy discussion tonight. What the only one thing I wish we could have added on was somebody from the left, somebody, a Democrat or a liberal, that could have explained to us why they continue to agree with the whole agenda being pushed. But we didn't. I still think we had a good conversation. So, Chris, why don't you go ahead and wrap up your final thoughts?
Yeah, it was a good show. I have pretty much given up on the idea of us getting a leftist in here. I won't call them liberals. I like a lot of liberal ideology. We're talking about classic liberal. Classic liberals, and I don't agree with all of them, but they are much more moderate. And what we're dealing with is actual Marxist leftists. These are people that want to turn us into a communist state, an authoritarian communist state. So I think we misuse the word liberal a lot these days. But hopefully next time we keep forgetting and failing to get to the impending nuclear crisis that seems to be unfolding before us. And Brazil, we didn't get to Brazil tonight. Hopefully we can get to that next week. But
One second, Chris. How long do you got left? I mean, you got to get to bed pretty soon. Yeah, I know you're on Eastern time zone. You got to get up early, right?
Yeah, I mean, I got a few minutes.
Okay, let's get into the Brazil thing. If you don't mind, we'll extend the show. What's it going to take us, 15 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and jump into that right away, Chris. And we'll finish our final thoughts later because, you know, the Brazil thing is kind of a big deal. I mean, it kind of coincides with everything that we talked about tonight. So just go ahead and jump into that, Chris.
Well, I'll tell you what's happening in Brazil. Elon Musk is destroying democracy. That's what the average person knows about Brazil right now, okay? Because God forbid we talk about actual worldwide events that are of extreme importance. Instead, let's point at this guy over here that runs a free speech platform and blame the downfall of Western civilization on him. No, a really weird thing. You know, they had a president down there. He was pretty popular, apparently. I guess kind of conservative. And there was an election. And there was apparently a leftist candidate he was running against that apparently doesn't seem to be very popular. And he won. He barely won. He got just enough votes to win that election against this really popular guy. Sounds like I'm repeating the insurrection almost, doesn't it? But they're having their own insurrection out in Brazil right now because apparently a whole bunch of people ain't having it. They do not believe they don't think the election was legit. They think it was rigged for some reason. I guess the same way that the Venezuelans thought that the election was rigged that ended up in an authoritarian communist state that destroyed their economy. It's a pattern that seems to keep repeating itself around the world. Right before the economic collapse of a country that becomes communist, there's accusations of election fraud. It's the craziest thing. But, of course, that could never happen here. So truckers, along with, not just the truck drivers, truckers along with a bunch of others, they've been blocking roads all over the country and holding these mass protests against the election results. They don't believe the election results. And that's it. That's, they're protesting that. And, you know, all the other economic conditions and everything that are going on that they believe this new guy who supposedly won is just going to worsen. But, yeah, that's pretty much the gist of what I have going on in Brazil. And, of course, again, you're not hearing a damn thing about it here.
And before we go, you touched on the nuclear threat. I seen that Russia fired off some ballistic missiles today. North Korea has been firing off. Let me just tell you folks something. Under Trump, as much as you despise Trump because the media says he's bad, the orange guy, Cheetos, he's bad, under Trump, do you realize that Trump was the first president to step over the lines into North Korea and shake the hands of a communist leader to keep peace? Do you realize that he was one of the first presidents, not the first, but one of the first, to shake hands with Putin and keep peace? Do you realize that North Korea nor Russia didn't start any engage into any conflict while Trump was president? Does that, I don't understand why that doesn't, like, make you think, like, wow, yeah, he didn't. They didn't. We didn't have any, like, new conflicts for 4 years under Trump. Like, he told Afghanistan, you do anything, we're going to blow the shit out of you. I think he said that to Russia, too. Don't do it. Because I have no qualms about coming in there and just bombing the shit out of you. And they knew he meant it. Now you got politics involved. You got the establishment involved. They're just finding an angle on passing their New World Order agenda. That's what they're doing. That's what they've always done. George Bush Sr. was in the CIA. But when was it, Chris? Back in the 60s?
I'm wanting to say 60s, yeah.
But he had very major connections with the CIA. Well, the CIA has been accused through, quote-unquote, conspiracy theories through the years of being responsible for the assassination of JFK. Now, there was an operation, and I don't remember what the hell the operation was called, Operation Northwoods, Operation something, I don't remember what it was, where they were going to, the CIA was going to carry out false flag attacks on American citizens and American military bases and blame it on none other than Fidel Castro in Cuba. That was during the Cuban Missile Crisis. That's when JFK stepped in and said, no, we're not doing that on our own citizens. JFK also wanted to get rid of the central banking system, which the federal central base, the Fed, they call it the Fed, but it's not owned by the Feds. It's owned by the Rothschilds and blah, 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 blah. They control worldwide financial systems. And right now they're all working with the World Economic Forum to collapse every single one of our economies. That's why you're seeing inflation go from 1.4 or 1.5% under Trump to whatever the hell it is now. It seems like 300%. That's what you're seeing, ladies and gentlemen. We know all this stuff. We've dug into this stuff. We're not trying to lie to you. We're not trying to feed you bullshit. But you continue to read and listen to the mainstream media and their whole narrative. You got to get it through your head that they don't report the news no more. It's not the news. They call it the news. Oh, it's 5 o'clock news. It's 10 o'clock. No, it's 5 o'clock propaganda time. It's 5 o'clock programming time. What do they call it when you watch the TV? They call it programming. That's exactly what is happening to all of you. Quit watching the news. They are feeding you nothing but lies. Half-truths. Now, I'm not telling you that me and Chris have the answers to everything, but I can tell you one thing. Me and Chris have done, and a lot of my friends have done a hell of a lot of research because we have nothing but time into a lot of the stuff that we talk about. And if you're mentally capable, it'll scare the shit out of you. However, it'll also make you grow a big pair of cojones because you're going to be ready to stand up and fight for your country. I am. I'm not going to let these communists just take over our country and steal my children's freedoms away, the same freedoms that you, me, and everybody else has enjoyed throughout history for their agenda, because they're so rich, they're bored. What's next? Well, let's play a little game. Let's watch the peasants fight amongst themselves over racial injustice and climate change and blah, 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 blah. Do you notice there was no climate change when Trump was in office? It was Russian collusion, Russian collusion, Russian collusion. Do you get it yet? If you haven't got it yet, wake the fuck up. On that note, Chris, good show tonight, brother. And everybody else that joined us, Tony, Brian, anybody listening, we appreciate you. Chris, you got one more thing to say?
You know what? Let's work on unity. But we can only get unity when we all know what the truth is. Stop trusting your parties. Stop trusting your favorite party. Look at what the other side is saying. Listen to what they're saying. Look at your side, what they're saying and what they're not saying. Stop taking headlines at face value. Read the article. And when you read the article, go in, look at the sources they cite, research the shit yourself. Start fact, be your own, there we go, that's my slogan. Be your own fact checker. Because it will change your world. That's all I got.
I appreciate it, man. You know, and I just want to tell Chris and Kim both, this show would not be what it is if I'm just sitting here jabbering for 2 hours. Different viewpoints, different opinions, different thoughts is what makes America turn. That's what it's that's what it's always been. Different viewpoints, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know where along the line we failed or where we thought it's okay to tell somebody that has a different opinion or a different thought or a different viewpoint that they're assholes or they're fuckheads. You wouldn't believe the comments I've gotten in the last 2 nights on Twitter because I don't agree with abortion. You know what? At one time, I was pro-choice. Now I'm pro-life up to certain circumstances, and we'll get into that on a different radio show. I'm not trying to take away a woman's right to choose. I'm not doing that. But abortion is not meant to be birth control. I'm not even going to say I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. It's not. That's a life. I even had their response, a comment that said, "A fetus is not a baby." I said, "What is it then?" And they said, "Cells." So I sent them a little clip, a little video from a lady that was arguing with a professor where she said it was a clump of cells, and the professor said, "Well, I'm a clump of cells." And she said, "Well, let's go to some more posters over here." She didn't have an answer for it. Like, you want to argue with me, that's fine. I'll argue with you, and I won't argue with you. I'll state facts. And you can get more mad and more mad, and then you can insult me more. It doesn't affect me anymore. It used to. It used to affect me bad. Mentally, emotionally, it hurt me because I've always tried to do the right thing. But now I take no bullshit from anybody. As a matter of fact, somebody, they commented the other day on one of my tweets, and I knew it wasn't going to go anywhere. I basically just told them to fuck off. And I don't care if I hurt your feelings anymore. I'm not here to protect your feelings anymore. I'm here to get out the facts, and we have to get them out fast. And if we don't, this country's over with. On next Tuesday, between now and our next radio show, we're going to have midterms, and we're going to find out a lot of what direction this country is going to head into. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not telling you to vote for Democrat. I'm not telling you to vote for Republican. I'm not telling you how to vote. I am going to tell you this. Please, please do your research on who you're voting for. Find out who is backing them financially. Find out if they're involved with the World Economic Forum in any way. Because if they are, and you vote for them, you're voting for the demise of our country, and I promise you that. I swear up and down on my children's life, I know what's going to happen if we get too many of them in. They've already bragged that they have over 50% of Parliament in Canada. And you can tell that. Chrystia Freeland, for God's sake, sits on the WEF board for finances. You could see what Justin Trudeau's doing. I mean, people, please just pay attention and open up your eyes. If you vote on Tuesday and you vote for this, the continuation of what we're going through, this is a sound you're going to hear. And on that, I'm going to say good night to all of you. God bless you and Godspeed.